Good morning, everybody. How's it going today? Let's pray before we get into the sermon. Dear Lord, you are our rest. Thank you for this day. Thank you. It's Labor Day weekend. Please open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Labor Day, everybody. I'm so happy you guys are here to celebrate church with us, even though it's a long weekend. And today we're going to celebrate Labor Day by looking at work and rest through a very important story in Exodus chapter 16. But first off, I thought I would just want to have a little bit of fun and give you a history of how Labor Day started. Are you excited for a history lesson? Come on, I love history. Who loves history here? Like four of you? Okay. Okay, I'll try to make it dramatic, and there's tension, and whoa, this crazy day. It's very interesting. Labor Day, it's usually thought of, you know, an extra day, a long weekend, the last one before summer ends, and maybe a little extra money if you're working and pick up a shift. It started, however, as a civil rights movement for labor unions to give more working people rest. During the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s, everyone, I mean everybody, men, women, children, had to work at least 6 days a week for 10 to 12 hours a day. And labor unions were illegal at the time, but certain people had passion to fight the system, the government, to give more rights to workers and protection from wealthy business owners who wanted to make as money as fast as they can, no matter what cost, even the workers. The civil rights movement started in the United Kingdom, and it spread across to the West. And in Canada, the Toronto Printers Union tried to fight for a shorter work week, but they're getting nowhere. And in 1872, they got fed up and held a massive strike in the middle of Toronto. And about 10,000 people joined the strike. That's like the 10th the population of Toronto. And there was a huge demonstration, but the employers didn't care. They just got more workers from other towns around Toronto, and they put all the people on strike in jail, 10,000 of them. The interesting part was one of the main employers who did this was part of the Liberal Party of Canada. The Prime Minister at the time was John A. Macdonald. He was a conservative, and in order to gain support of the workers and humiliate his rival, he made labor unions legal, decriminalized them, setting all the people in jail free and scorning and making fun of the liberal people. And to remember this day, remember this time when labor unions were made legal, support rights workers and other people started to have a parade every year. And finally, in 1894, the Prime Minister acknowledged the history of this day, and they started and declared Labor Day a national holiday. That wasn't so bad, was it? Okay, good. And thank God for Labor Day. Like, I don't want to work six days, 12, 15 hours a day. And I'm thankful to God for rising up people who are passionate about caring for their neighbors, especially those who are exploited. Work is good. It's important. But we see what happens when there's not enough rest in society. People become restless. They burn out and live short, miserable lives. And greed prevails. And here's what I want to do today. I want to walk through the story in Exodus 16 and talk about the value of work that God has given us and also the equally valuable Sabbath or rest. And then we'll end how Jesus is our rest. And here's what I want you to know. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. A famous quote from St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are made for you, O Lord, and they are restless until they find rest in you." And in the context of our busy work, the same thing rings true. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. First off, work is a good thing given to us by God. Before I read the first few verses of Exodus 16, let me give you some context. Israel, the people of God, are wandering in the wilderness. They had just left the empire known as Egypt. And even worse than the Industrial Revolution, Israel had been slaves in Egypt, probably working 7 days a week, who knows, 16 hours a day. And after God delivered them from Egypt through an incredible demonstration, God sent them into the wilderness and said, "Trust me." He said, "You will not have to work like you did in Egypt. Just trust in me." And God promises people that he will provide their needs, delivering them fresh bread in the morning and quail for meat in the evening. And let's go to the story right now. Exodus 16, if you have your Bibles, please look it up with me. Exodus 16, starting in verse 13. "That evening, after God promised these things, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there's a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them," Moses was the kind of leader at the time, "'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer," that's about 2 liters per person, "for each person in your tent." Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they had measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. In this story, God provides for his people and encourages them to work. Work is a gift from God, and it's good in many ways. And I just want to talk about 3 really quickly. Work can give us an identity, it affects our character, and it gives us security. And for fun, I just wanted to reflect on a couple jobs I had in my past. Just for fun also, maybe I'll hope you reflect on how God used your jobs, your work, to shape you into who you are today. First, work gives us identity. And that's kind of a big thing in our culture. When you're meeting somebody new, you just say, "Hi, I'm Jeremiah. What's your name?" "I'm Billy Jew," or something like that. And the first thing you just ask is, "What do you do?" And when they ask, "What do you do?" they don't ask, they don't mean like, "Oh, what do I do? Oh, yeah, I watch Netflix. I go on bike rides. I dance a little. I eat cake." They don't ask. They're asking, "What is your job?" And you go like, "Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I got a job. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that." And it's getting less now, but whenever I try to change it, not everybody has a job. So I say, "Hey, what are you up to in life?" And some people are like, "What do you mean? Like, in life? Like, a job? Or like, I mean, in life?" And anyway, job is really big thing in our identity in this culture. And one of my favorite jobs ever was a gas station attendant. Anybody been here a gas station attendant? Yes, God, right on. I love this job. It was in my small town, and I just felt it was my job. It was my life. I walk in the door, the little bell ringing, and I'd put the coffee on, I put the gloves on, the chips were ready, packed, the chocolate bars were there. First customer walks in, I give a big smile. "What do you want, man? Oil change, check your tires, I'll do this." It was a full service, and I was the gas master. I would do that with all my heart, like, yes, I would, yeah. And all the people knew me as the gas master. It was who I am, and I still love that job today. Second thing is, it affects and changes your character for good and bad. One of the jobs I had was I was a healthcare aide in an elderly home for long-term care. All my Filipino family worked there, so I had it in, and I needed a job for the summer. So I was 18 years old. I could do this. Walk into a room of an elderly lady, and she's naked. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And after a while, I really got a heart for vulnerable people, especially elders. One of my favorite things I loved to do was bathroom duty. That is, anybody been healthcare aid before? Or I guess, okay, there we go. My favorite was like, you had to check what their BM was or their bowel movement was, and you had to check what kind it was, oozy or hard. And I, for me, it was like surprise every day. "Oh, Margaret, it's oozy today. Oh, Jill, solid." And I do, for some reason, it made me vulnerable in society. Another one that affected my care in a bad way was I was a dishwasher. Anybody been a dishwasher before? Oh my goodness, that is the toughest job ever. I was in my small town. I won't even tell the place. It was terrible. Like, I was the only dishwasher sometimes for months. I'd come in and there was a mountain of dishes. And I would just work my butt off. It was a terrible environment. People were always cutting corners. And I had to, I didn't want to, but I had to cut corners too because I didn't want to get in trouble, or it was just a bad situation. And my character was not the best. To give you an idea, one time I found a headless deep-fried mouse under the counter. So let's just say it wasn't the best place to work, okay? Finally, work, jobs can give you security. They make us feel secure. We can provide our needs. They kind of give us a sense that we have power and independence, especially when you're trying to get away from your family, depending on your family. And when you work, there's comfort in the fact that you're providing for yourself. One of my jobs, I felt the most secure for about an hour. I worked this job for an hour. I was a gopher assassin. You guys know what a gopher is? Okay, gophers are these pests in the fields, and in some countries, you can sell gophers for hundreds of dollars because they're pets, but my job was to kill these gophers for a farmer. And when I first started, I was like, yes, I'm an assassin. My arsenal was poison. I got a big thing of oats, put some poison in it. It smelled like fruit roll-ups. And I would go through the wilderness. Yeah, I'm strong, I'm mighty. I'd put a trap there, a trap there, a trap there. The problem was, when you are doing that, you park your truck here, you walk across, lay traps, then you got to walk back, and you see what you've done. And you walk back, and there's a little gopher dead. You walk over, oh no, another one! Oh no, another one! I seen one, it was over there, and what's wrong with it? Another gopher was eating its eyes. Oh my goodness! I left immediately. I was done. And that night, I woke up, and my eyes are gone! My eyes are gone! I had nightmares for weeks. But for an hour, I felt secure. I felt confident. And when we work at a job where we feel secure and comfortable, we feel secure. It's going to be okay. And work, though, doesn't necessarily mean a job where you get a T4 tax receipt. The Israelites didn't get a tax receipt for shoveling snow or manna, whatever they're doing there. You could still work and not have an official job. When I mean by work, I mean when God has given us opportunities to be partners with Him. In the beginning, God created. He worked for 6 days, and right in the New Testament, Paul calls us co-workers, co-creators, partners with God, and God invites us to continue the work He has started. For some of us, work is tending the earth as a farmer, as God did in the beginning. Some, it's creating the newest app or the next startup. Others, it's a professional, a businessman, a blue collar that maybe gets their hands dirty. Some have 9 to 5, some have 8-hour days, some have night shifts. Some are mothers, and that's a full-time thing. For some, it's helping those in need. Some clean floors. Others, it's roaming the streets as a prophet, seeking God's justice like a superhero in disguise or the activist that created Labor Day. Work is not a paycheck, but it's where God calls you. And I love the video said, the same verse I'll say again, Colossians 3, 23, 24 says, whatever you do for work, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters or for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. And that's the main point of Israel's work in this story. We are God's co-workers, and we have to trust God in our work. Our work is restless unless we rest in God. And I don't know about you, but at some of my jobs, I was restless. I was bored. I hated it. It felt meaningless, or I was just too busy. And for Israel, their problem was they were too busy to rest. I love verse 18. It's a very countercultural statement. It says in verse 18, when they had measured it by an omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. That is totally opposite of what we think today or what the world says today. Our society says the harder you work, the better you are, the better you do society, and the more you should get. For Israel, it didn't matter how hard they worked. It was just the fact that they worked. God provided for them all equally. The one who worked hard got exactly the same as the one who worked a little. God has so much. He has abundance, and it doesn't matter how hard we work. And doesn't that sound backwards? Our society says those who work hard are rewarded, and those who are lazy are losers. God is countering this culture of busyness that we live in. He's trying to tell Israel that work itself must rest in God's provision. We must trust God with our work. And let me explain this by going to the next section of Exodus 16, starting at verse 19 down to verse 26. It says, starting at verse 19, after they had worked a lot, Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it, any of the bread, any of the manna, until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning. And it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them." I would be too. "Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers per person, and the leaders of the community came and reported to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning.' So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. 'Eat it today,' Moses said, 'because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you got to gather it, 6 days you work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any.'" Working hard is good. It's not a bad thing, but it becomes a bad thing when we trust in our work and our plans more than God and his plan. God told Israel to trust him every single day for their food. He told them, "Don't worry about saving for tomorrow, because I will always be there with you to provide for you the next day. Bread and meat. The menu is always the same." But this was really tough for Israel. And there's 2 reasons I want to point out. First, they were in the wilderness. There was no food around to eat at all, and they were hungry. In the wilderness, when you need to work even harder just to survive, God tells them to work less. That would be hard. But God had a plan. God sent them into the wilderness to grow their trust in God. The Bible uses the image of the wilderness as a symbol for hard times in our lives. The wilderness is a place for trials, but also a time for trusting. When things are going well, it's easy to say that we trust in God, isn't it? When our bank accounts are high, when our children or family are doing well, when the price of oil is doing good, it's easy to say God is good all the time. But when you take that all away, you begin to realize that you may have trusted your bank account a little too much. You may have trusted in your wealth more than you had thought. And when you're in the wilderness, when you are in poverty, when you are in hard times, when you can't provide for yourselves, when you have no job, you have no choice but to trust God for everything. And sometimes, in our hardest moments, God asks us to rest in him. Even when every ounce of our being tells us to do something, to work, to do something now, God says stop and rest. The second problem that Israel faced is that they had been working hard in Egypt for over 400 years. They were slaves. And I don't think they had a labor day or a long weekend, if you know what I mean. They were so used to endless hard work. Exodus says that they were slaves building storehouses or supply cities in Egypt. That means they were working crazy so that Egypt could store more grain and product so that they could increase the quotas and increase the work even more. They work to work. And it was always, always busy in Egypt. They could never get enough storehouses, never enough grain, never enough hours in the day. And Israel had a tough time realizing and adapting to the fact that God is enough. God is more than enough. In Egypt, it was always about scarcity, not enough. But the God of Israel was about abundance. There's more than enough. And instead of trusting God for their security each day, what does Israel do? They say, oh yeah, I trust God. He gives us food, but I want to save a little for tomorrow. Because you never know. You never know what could happen in this wild place, and maybe God won't come through tomorrow. Have you ever done that before? Made a backup plan? You know, I got to trust God, but just in case, I'll make a backup plan. One of my friends said, I know God wants me to go on a mission trip and to be a missionary maybe for a long time, but my parents really want me to get a degree first, just in case God doesn't provide, just in case I'm not called to that. Or another person I know said, I know I'm called to be in the church, but I really want to work up north for a bit, make a lot of money, just in case, you know, the church thing doesn't work out. Now, working hard or planning for the future is not a bad thing, but it becomes bad when it's not God's plan. When we find most or all of our identity, security, and character in our work, in our ability to provide our own needs. And for Israel, that's what they were caught in. Their identity was a slave, the lowest segment of society. And their security was fully invested in the economy of Egypt. There had always never been enough. And they had to work hard to build more storehouses and feel more secure. And at the beginning of this chapter, they are complaining to the leader Moses, saying they missed the food in Egypt. I mean, can you believe that? They missed the food in Egypt. They, even though they were slaves, worked so hard, were treated like the lowest of the low, at least they had food. At least their life was secure. And as slaves with no security, they did not have it in their character to completely trust in God. So they stored extra meat and extra bread in their closet just in case there wasn't enough for tomorrow. God tries to tell them they don't need to trust in their work or in Egypt anymore. He tells them, you just have to trust in me. God, the creator, the provider of the universe, it is he who gives you and them a lasting identity, character, and security. God called Israel out of Egypt. He gave them a new identity. They were no longer slaves, but children of God and co-workers with God. God tests them and molds their character in the wilderness. And the reason Israel is secure in the wilderness is that God is providing for them every day. In order to help them understand this concept, he invites them to fully trust in God by establishing something called Sabbath. A day of rest in which we can fully give up our working and activity and actively trust in God. God tells them to work double on the sixth day, save half of it, and don't go out to look more food on the Sabbath day, but eat what you picked up the day before and just rest. Rejuvenate yourselves. Prepare for the work. Just get your mind ready and be thankful for God and his provision. And on the seventh day comes around, what does the people do? Let's read the last section of Exodus, starting in verse 27. Nevertheless, that's not a good way to start a verse. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day, and no one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. They still went out to look for food. Facepalm. Oh my goodness. They went out on the seventh day to see if they could store up a little more just in case God doesn't come through. Just in case we need extra. Israel was stuck. They were afraid of the wilderness, and they're still getting their identity, character, and security from their slavery in Egypt. And God is trying to bring his people back into his rest, back into trusting in him. And finally, an angry Moses scolds them, and they finally take a break for the day. Now, how are you doing? Are you restless? Do you find rest in God, or are you just busy all the time? Are you restless because you don't have a job? Are you restless because your job sucks? Your job is terrible. And are you finding rest then in other things, in YouTube, in Facebook, in things that are good but are taking the time of intimate relationship and time with God? Sometimes even our work for God, our work in the church, can push us away from God. And I'm going to make a confession. I struggle with workaholism. And unfortunately, in our society, they're like, oh, you're a workaholic? Yeah, good job, man. You're rocking. Honestly, in God's eyes, that's just as bad as a cocaine addiction. It takes away from rest with God, what he called us to be. And I am always struggle with it. After I left, I used to be in the party scene. After I left my friends, I wanted to get away from my friends, so I worked. I got busy all the time. And now, when I'm tired, I work. When I'm sad, I work. When I'm bored, I work. And God is teaching me more and more to take a break, to rest in him, give up my working, and give him credit, and just be in his presence. And one example is, for this sermon I'm doing right now, I didn't have a lot of time to do it. And I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm going to work for you. I want to do the best for you. I want to make this best sermon. And then God said, rest. I'm like, God, Sunday's like tomorrow. I can't rest. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do this for you. Like, and God's like, Jeremiah, are you finding your identity, security, and character in me or in your work for me? Man, I appreciate all the work you're doing, but I don't want your work. I want you. And even though I was stressed to my eyeballs and all this work to do, I rested. And I can't explain it, but I got a huge dose of dopamine. Let's not get into it now. Addiction. There's a thing with addiction, dopamine. Anyway, instead of getting high off work, I got high off Jesus. And even though I was so much work didn't go away, I've been filled with joy ever since. And that is God coming in and saying, just rest. Just trust. I appreciate all your work you're doing. It's good, but you gotta just rest. I'm here. You're gonna miss me if you don't. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. Grace is found that Jesus is our rest. Unlike Israel and unlike us, Jesus, the Son of God, completely rested in his Father, the God who delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. He trusted in God with the work given to him. He never strayed away from the plan of God. And he trusted God in his rest. The Gospels say Jesus, he was a busy guy, but his custom was to wake up every morning and find a place to rest in God. And he obeyed God even to the point of death. When we come to Jesus, he is our rest. He gives us unexpected joy, unexpected peace. And the scriptures use the image of the heavenly manna or the heavenly bread to describe and point to Jesus himself. Just like God provided bread from heaven to fill Israel's physical need, God sent Jesus, the bread of heaven, to fill our spiritual needs. We were separated from God and spiritually dead. And just like God delivered Israel from slavery of Egypt, Jesus sets us free from the slavery of sin and endless, crazy busyness. Jesus is the bread from heaven, and communion today, that's exact same symbol. Jesus as the bread. Jesus as the bread of heaven. Jesus gave himself. His body was broken for us so that we could have life. We were slaves of sin, lost in the wilderness. We could never work enough to reach God. So Jesus worked for us. He entered the wilderness, took our sin on himself, died, but rose again to life. Now through the Holy Spirit, we, those who call upon Jesus, can have a relationship with him and completely trust in God for everything. Our lives, our bills, our paycheck, our health, even in the face of death. We can trust God who raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit to give us new life now when we are weary and in the life to come. We can trust him because he is worth trusting. Are you restless? Are you working too much? Are you looking for a job, a calling from God? Do you need Jesus' rest today? Rest in him. Our work is restless until we find rest in God. Matthew 11:28, one of my favorite verses I always hold on to, says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The next verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The rest of God will give you peace. Let me just end with two applications for you. One is work for God, not the man. And the second one is rest in Jesus. First, work for God and not the man. Trust in God with your work. Rest and trust in God in whatever your situation is. If your work is terrible, know that you're not working for the man or the system or this busyness. You are working for God. You are a co-worker with God. God needs you to clean those floors. God needs you to flip those burgers. God is working with you to clean the sewer system. Wherever God is calling you, he is there with you. And if you are too busy, if you are working like crazy like me, resist the power of the world by practicing Sabbath. Stop working one day a week. It's hard. I know. I am still working on it. But try to carve out time in the week saying, "This is for you, God." Give up your working. Put away your phone. Find a lonely place to spend time with God. If you are in a desperate need of a job or your needs provided, trust in God. He has more than enough. Rest in him and also rest in this community, in our house churches, to be there with you to meet your needs and to be co-workers with God. And pray for those who need jobs. Speak out for those who can't work, those who are victims of this very busy society, the poor, the outcast. Work for God and not the man. Secondly, rest in Jesus. Unlike the world system, we should not be living in a constant restlessness, even if we're doing good things like church. Restlessness causes us to trust in ourself and our work. Rest in God causes us to trust in God and in Jesus for everything. And just instead of just talking about it, I thought we would just actually practice rest. Practice a quick meditation. Now, how I rest, I found a couple great apps which I use to help me meditate and just rest in God and just not think about work. And I want to just do a quick practice with you guys today, if that's okay. And if you're non-Christian, I encourage you to still meditate with us. There is health benefits to meditation, but I encourage all of us to ask God to show himself to you today. Ask God to break into whatever situation you are and just to reveal yourself. And I'm just going to read from John 6, where Jesus is declaring he is the bread from heaven. And if you want, the words are on the screen to follow along. But I encourage you, if you can, close your eyes. Let's take a deep breath together, okay? Rest in God. See where he is leading you today. Lord, give us ears to hear what you want us to hear during this time. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you trust in Jesus? Ask God right now, God, do I trust in you? God, are there areas in my life that I'm not trusting in you? Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Are you resting in Jesus? Ask God, Lord, what is preventing me from resting in you? Ask him, how do you want me to rest in you? Show me how, please. Jesus, you are the bread from heaven, and you are our rest. In your name, we come to you, and we praise you, and we thank you. Amen.